Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, good morning from America's most beloved ballpark, Fenway Park, at our Ford Clubhouse studios. And I'm here with a man who went viral for his disappointment of the Drake May pick on the WEI social media accounts. A big thumbs down from Mr. Chris Curtis, who is, I would like to repeat for the third straight week, the official endorser of Drake's Cakes, and he will not endorse Drake May. Good morning, Curtis.
He is infringing on my territory. So, very quick beginning, and this encapsulates the Patriots, it encapsulates every aspect of life. You only need to show your work when you fail. If you are successful, nobody gives a damn how you arrived at that success, so long as you didn't break a law or you weren't, you know, on roids to the gills like Sosa. Like, if you do what you're expected and you do your job well, nobody's going to want to go back and look through your notes. If you're, you know, Stephen Glass and you're Mike Barnicle or Kevin Cullen or any one of these guys, and you are seen to be either plagiarizing or creating false stories.
I thought this was a shot at Shimes' mock draft here.
No, but the collaborative approach, the photos that they're sending out, everything the Patriots are doing, Gerard Mayo saying we'd be happy with any of the three, the way in which you arrive at a decision is only analyzed and applicable when it fails. For two decades, Bill did it one way where he didn't say a word and whatever, and obviously the Patriots have overcorrected the other direction. They're having happy hours and they're having everybody down there. But the focus on the manner in which the Patriots are conducting their business rather than what they're actually doing is an attempt by the organization to blur the view of the fan base from the fact that they are just stagnant. They are rudderless. And the notion that, of all the things I've heard since the draft began, Gerard Mayo saying we were happy with whoever landed there. So you don't have a plan. You don't have any idea what you're doing. You're going to reorganize your entire roster and your organization based around a guy that just happens to fall to you? If you really thought Drake May was it, that's great. But the way in which they have begun this new era, trading back, getting cute to get a guy that who the hell knows from, you know, Washington's third best receiver, or this tackle that's a right tackle. You could have signed Calvin Ridley.
Might be a right guard, but good.
Signed Calvin Ridley, signed the left tackle, Tyron Smith, who went to the Jets, and then you could have stayed at 34 and brought another receiver, or who the hell knows. You could have done a million different things. Taken a defensive player, because there was such a premium on offense, there might have been a more talented corner or a more talented member of the defense to add a 34. All this is just a way to say, I am so down.
Really?
On the new era of the New England Patriots. I hope I'm wrong. I look forward to talking to Gerard Mayo on Monday. He can offer his side of this, but
well, one thing you got to admit, it is the offseason of the 180-degree separation from Belichick continues. It feels like the first three rounds of the draft were a direct antithesis of what Bill would have done. I know they did trade back in the second round. That kind of felt like Bill for a minute.
But Bill
would never have drafted Drake May. He made that plainly obvious when he got on there with Pat McAfee, right? I mean, there's no way he would have taken Drake May. And maybe he's right. We're going to find that out. but they took three offensive players. If Bill were here, it would have been the complete opposite, three defensive players.
Well, I mean, maybe. I would say that the way in which they have approached the actual roster with budgeting has been eerily similar. And
so far, although if this Aiyuk Niners receiver trade is a possibility, that changes everything.
How? But I mean, one receiver changes everything.
Well, yeah, because they're going to spend $25 million.
They have to. They have to get to the floor. They have to get to $200 million. They're
not
there.
Well, okay.
So literally, in order to be compliant with the
they have to make the trade.
They do.
Well, that would be a good trade. I'd take that. Fine, if they're forced into it, whatever.
Either way, I just if you start talking to someone and they're telling you all about how they arrived versus just arriving, they're trying to already give you an excuse or trying to cushion the fall for when you realize they didn't do it right.
Well, I think what they're doing is they're just trying to win fans back by their behavior. They're trying to go overboard.
But nobody cares.
I think you're right.
Nobody cares about
But they're
that.
Trying. Wouldn't you say they're trying to win the fans back by niceties?
All the teams here spent two decades winning, and the fans couldn't get enough of it. Now they're losing, and they're trying to win them back. You don't win them back by doing anything but winning.
Yeah, but you could win some back if Drake May gets out there and slings the ball around and looks the part. He looks like Justin Herbert.
Do you know what Pete Carroll was after Bill Parcells? Ooh, he was a touchy-feely guy. He was a hoorah. He was a celebrate
guy.
Hoorah.
Hoorah or hoorah?
He would walk in there and he would say, I love you. Let's go outside. Let's get some pizza. I'm full of energy. I'm full of pee and vinegar.
I'm like that as a manager. You appreciate that.
Yeah, you almost too much energy. But you and Greg. But he was fired after 3 years because they didn't win. None of this is going to matter if the team isn't any good. And as I said, I hope Drake May is good. I really do. It makes my job easier. It's better for the radio station. It's better for everybody. I just don't think he's going to be good. Even if he is good.
Yeah, well.
I think this team will chew him up and spit him out with the roster they have.
Well, again, so Orlovsky was on yesterday with Jones and Mayo, 1,000% right. He mentioned 2026. That should be the goal. This guy shouldn't play this year, and he probably shouldn't play next year. So this should be Jordan Love on steroids.
So here's the reason. Oh, God, great point already in the show. So everybody says you don't do Marvin Harrison Jr., right, because you need to build with a quarterback.
Well, not everybody. A lot of people said that. A lot of people wanted Marv. That's the big argument, right?
But I would say the vast majority of the all the Drake May defenders will say you don't win with a receiver alone. Show me a guy, and I would always rebut with the first one, which is the league has changed dramatically.
Right. Schein just talked about that on the producer show. He mentioned Larry Fitzgerald. He would have taken Carson Palmer still over Fitzgerald
right.
in that draft.
Got it. I mean, it's not a dumb argument. Historically, it's accurate. However, if you're telling me it's 2026 for Drake May, and what's the reason that everybody loves the rookie quarterback? I'll tell you. It's the rookie deal, right? It's the cheat code. The organizations love it because you don't have to pay a lot of money. You get the guy for 5 years. Bingo, bango. But if it's in 2026 that he's really going to start playing, you already are getting into year three, so you only get 2 years of him on the rookie deal while you have that big advantage. So if you get Marvin Harrison Jr. now, a guy that is NFL ready, that will improve Jacoby Brissett and whoever else you have, and in 2 years, you have the opportunity to either sign Dak Prescott, to move up into another future draft, and you already have Marvin Harrison Jr. Shyam and I went back and forth yesterday about the Texans. And he's right that we were at the Texans preseason game last year against the Patriots. It was a dog food game. Awful. They stunk. But they spent 4 years building a roster. Then they lucked into C.J. Stroud because the Panthers traded up with the Bears to take Bryce Young.
Yep.
They got the quarterback, and the roster was ready to win.
Well, yeah. And if this is true, now, I don't know if we have the audio on this. Joe Braverman back there producing, maybe he can find it. But there was a report somewhere from Albert Breer that the Vikings offered not only the 11 and 23, but also the 2025 first-round pick.
Yes, I saw that.
Okay, so I don't know where he said that, probably on NBC Sports.
It was in his story, and either Mike Cadlick or one of the local beat guys had quote-tweeted it with Chris Mason of Mass Live quote-tweeted it with the details. I saw that last night.
So in that case, I would have taken that. If you could have gotten 11, 23, and another first next year, so you have two firsts next year waiting for you, and then you get, at 11, maybe you don't get a quarterback. And maybe you go through this year and you don't get one, so you're feeling pressure to get one next year, but fine. That's as you just laid it out, that's the better play.
Right. I mean, in the ways that we have seen, I went through it last night before, getting ready for this, and the quarterbacks in the AFC East that we have seen, whether it's Darnold, whether it's Ryan Tannehill, whether it's J.P. Lossman, whether it's Geno Smith, up and down the line of these guys that were brought into these organizations with high hopes, with you know, all the fanfare, Sam Darnold, he's got everything you want. He's got the arm, USC, he's pro-ready, all this stuff. He's the new Sanchez. They all failed. And it's not just that they failed. They bring the whole organization down with them. When you have Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac set you back 4 years.
So you took Mac at 15.
Well, the combination of Bill and Mac.
So, I mean, you could easily make the argument that Bill's decision. I mean, there have been two singular seminal moments. Can you have two seminal moments?
Sure.
So one was the decision on Brady, whether it was Giselle, Bill, I don't want to relitigate that. I'm just that decision. And then the other was after Mac's rookie year, placing Matt Patricia and Joe Judge in for Josh McDaniel.
Right, which turned out to be a fireable offense.
And I can tell you, the organization views that as the seminal
moment. Yes, of course.
And so,
and they should have fired Bill after that season and thought about it.
There were many in the building that wanted to.
Right.
And
for some reason, they didn't.
They didn't because they were afraid of Brady winning also hurt them because they were so gun-shy about having Bill do the same thing. This organization, and it included Kraft and everybody else, did things their way for two decades, thinking and knowing that they had the answers. Now they have allowed the behaviors and events of teams not related to them to jeopardize their own thought process and how they do business and have them question it. And you look at what happened with Mac Jones. You take Mac Jones, it fails. So not only is Mac's gone, the coordinator's gone, the head coach is gone, you have a brand new crew in here. And in 3 years, if Drake May is not great, you will see Elliott Wolf gone, you'll see Jerod Mayo gone.
You might see Elliott Wolf gone sooner than that. I mean, he doesn't even have a title yet. But
you have the whole organization is hinging on this one decision, whereas they told me it's not Drake May. When you say you're happy with whoever, that means you didn't think Drake May was the best player in the draft. Because if you did, you'd say that. Teams often even lie about that. They didn't. Respect that. But you trade and make that Vikings deal, and you build around this roster in a way, and you make the Ayuk trade. Mm-hmm. And then you have even more ammunition next year. So you have two first-round picks next year. So that, let's say the Patriots go 5-12, and the Vikings that they trade with go 7-10. You can combine two top 10 picks to move into two or three to take Shedeur Sanders, whoever the next quarterback of the day is.
Yeah. Now, if you had traded back with the Vikings and you're picking at 11, you're probably not getting a quarterback. If you are, you're getting the last quarterback of the six that went, and you're not getting an elite receiver because the top three or four of those went.
But would you rather J.J. McCarthy and two additional first-round picks or Drake May?
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. But I know you were not a McCarthy guy.
But
that's almost a waste if you don't really think McCarthy is the answer.
But McCarthy with two additional first-round picks, that's the point.
Yeah, but at that point, you almost don't even bother with McCarthy.
I'm fine with not bothering with McCarthy. But all I'm saying is that is Drake May two first-round picks better than J.J. McCarthy?
Right, and the answer is probably not. It's worth a shot. That was my take last week. So I'm coming off that based on seeing the trade proposal, if Breer is right on that. But we do want your thoughts on this. 617-779-7937. Looking back on it now, three rounds in, how do you grade the Pats draft? What do you think of their haul? And would you have done what they have done and just stayed there and, if Breer's right, turned down some pretty high offers for May? Or would you have done something else? And what would that have been? Now, May met the media yesterday at Gillette. He is indeed a very aw shucks golly gee guy. It's kind of charming. I watched the press conference. I want to play some clips from that coming up next, Curtis, and let you hear from him. I don't think it's an act. He's going to be compared a lot to Mac Jones, and he's wearing his number, which is a little unnerving. So it's number 10. But you would admit, you got to give this guy a chance and not say this is Mac Jones 2.0, right? I mean, they're different people entirely.
I don't see anything in common with Mac Jones and Drake May.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, you know, most people would be happy to hear that.
Yeah, I mean,
but they're both sort of Southern guys generally. And
but I mean, Mac Jones was like a Dover kid. Drake May's like a kid from, you know, Kentucky,
yeah,
North Carolina. I mean,
exactly.
Very much aw shucks. He's not this tennis brat. He comes in with, you know, a pretty good reputation.
And I think Mac worked hard. Hope you learned your lesson from what you put him in and what you won't put
May. What is the one thing you hear for people defending the Drake May pick? I'll tell you. Well, 2 years ago, he had his coordinator and he had a top receiver. He lost both and struggled. What is he going to do here then?
No, I don't hear that.
Well, what are you talking about? I heard that over and over again. No, not Scheim.
But you know what I hear? All I hear is he's got the arm.
No, but
prototype.
When people talk
arm.
About Drake May's senior year or junior year or whatever it was last year, they say, I don't want to grade him too harshly on last year. He lost his number.
Who cares about that? Who cares what he did in college at all?
But if you're saying that he lost talent around him and his coordinator, and then he'll thrive with the Patriots.
Right.
That's counterintuitive.
I shouldn't say who cares what they did in college at all. It matters somewhat. But I agree with you. Largely, that is irrelevant.
But if you're going to defend him by saying he lost talent, look at the talent of the Patriots.
Right. But you will admit he is the prototype, right? On paper, he's 6'4". He's a big arm QB.
As long as he doesn't lock in on Ben Coates, then I'm fine.
Maybe next year is the year they draft Willie McGinnis and they replicate the Bledsoe McGinnis top five picks of 93-94. That could be the strategy. I guess that's the hope.
Another thing I would have done, I would have traded Judon for a second if you could.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to win. They're trying to do the Red Sox hang in there short term and be a 500 team, I guess. All right, give us your thoughts on it. 617-779-7937. It is the Ken and Curtis Show. Here until noon, Fitzy and Hart follow us with live draft coverage continuing today in rounds four and beyond. And the great Joe B is ready to update you.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
We got two playoff series in the city of Boston resuming tonight. First off, the Celtics will travel to South Beach to play game three of their first round series with the Miami Heat. The series is tied at a game apiece after the Heat stole game two in Boston on Wednesday night following a franchise record 23 three-pointers. Luke Kornet listed as probable for the C's. Tip-off from Miami is set for 6 o'clock. Afterwards, the Bruins will look to take a 3-1 series lead over the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 4 of their first-round series. Coach Jim Montgomery stated yesterday about which goalie starts, quote, "We're following the plan we had in place." Puck drop from Toronto is at 8 o'clock. Last night, the Red Sox fell to the Cubs in their return home 7-1. Your final score, Sox offense was stifled by Shota Imanaga, the starter for Chicago. 7 hits in total for the Sox offense. The lone run came from another Tyler O'Neill solo shot. Cutter Crawford got the loss. He gave up 10 hits and 4 runs, 3 of them earned over 6 innings pitched. Game 2 of this 3-game set will take place this afternoon. Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming have the call from Fenway at 4:10 on the Shaw's Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Josh Winkowski will get the start for the Sox opposite Ben Brown for the Cubbies. Brad Faube will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Second and third rounds of the NFL draft continued last night. The Patriots selected receiver Jalen Polk out of Washington with the 37th overall pick following a trade with the Chargers. They also drafted offensive tackle Caden Wallace out of Penn State with the 68th overall pick. The draft will conclude later today, beginning with the fourth round at noon. And Lionel Messi hits to Gillette Stadium turf for the first time ever as the Revolution hosts Inter Miami FC tonight at 7:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Grips on your ways, front way, back way. You know that I don't play. Street's not safe, but I never run away. Even when
Oh, Curtis is a Drake's Cakes guy, and he's a Drake guy. But he's not a Drake May guy. If you disagree, let us know why.
This band is going to be at Stone Church today, Rattleboro.
I enjoyed the Stone Church. Don't knock the Stone Church. That was a great live venue yesterday.
Great.
Fun day with the Greg Hill Show out in Vermont. We actually got a lot of Northern Mass people to come out to the show as well. That's pretty cool. Not very far over the border.
pretty amazing the amount of people at 6 in the morning at that place. It was a great showing, great night at the Poorhouse in Keene the night before, and then a fun post-draft show. It's always fun doing that in front of people, so that was a good time.
And I got to commend you. You were an excellent meter and greeter. You stayed most of the night, didn't stay until 9.
Well, I had to drive Courtney back. That was my job.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, you didn't get both of you. Knock on both. You didn't make it to 9:30, but fine. Laird Mann held it down. I was there till the end with all our people. You do, though, take the stick in the mud of the night for the thumbs down of the Drake May pick. I mean, that's going to be forever.
You know? Right.
Wiggy was happy. Greg was happy. And there's Curtis with the big thumb down.
That and the dog leash. Those are forever. But, yeah, I listen, as I say, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Drake May's awesome.
Do you really?
Yes. Brady's done. Like, it's over. Bill's gone. That whole thing is over with. One guy won, one guy lost.
And you were briefed this week. I mean, you are back in the Kraft's good graces.
I am.
You have sources coming out the years.
Yeah, well, and...
You want to reiterate some of the sourcing before
I... Okay, a couple things. Bill Belichick will be at Brady night. Done.
Which is huge. It's stunning, actually.
Yep, he'll be there.
Does that make you question the Seth Wickersham reporting?
No. What makes me question the true animus between the two parties is that Brian is on the staff. Like, if my son is working for an organization that I truly despise, that wouldn't exist. So even if it's not, you know, I don't think Bill Belichick and Jonathan are going to go play bocce later, okay?
But, oh, cornhole. Okay, with those things, the Magna things we gave out yesterday.
What's that company called?
The Cornpole Company.
Who was talking to the Cornpole people after?
You were. That? Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I did like my line that you're our cornpole. Anyway, but yes, I believe that Bill Belichick and Jonathan do not like each other. I believe that Jonathan, this has not been briefed. This is my own thing, and this actually would go against some of the things I was told. But I do believe deeply within my loins that Jonathan told Tommy Curran they were firing Bill Belichick as a means to keep his dad honest, because he knew that there would be the potential at the end of the year for Robert and Bill to sit down as they had every other year prior and ingratiate himself in a way where he would not be fired. By making that so adamant, and you saw the sort of backpedaling through other channels after that report, so much so that we were calling out inaccurately that I said Curran was wrong, he was right. So there is a very complicated mess there. Just like there was with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But time heals most. And
time? We're talking about a month. Bill's coming back in a month?
It's not.
After Kraft called Mike twice?
Do you know who Bill Belichick is showing himself to be? A brilliant marketer.
Oh, man. Is his stock risen dramatically?
If Bill Belichick arrives on that night, let's go these two things.
Is McAfee coming with him?
If Bill doesn't go, it is viewed by some, not all, but there is enough people that say that is petty. You're not celebrating a guy that you will be synonymous with forever. Oh, I was also told statue coming for Bill Belichick.
Ooh.
So that'll be there.
This year?
No. But when he gets into the Patriots Hall of Fame, there will be a statue.
Are they going to waive the Hall of Fame waiting for him?
No.
Because he might coach again.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but expect that. And the other point is that if he shows up, that place is going to go effing bananas.
Yeah, he'll get the biggest applause. Wow.
And he can do the Clemens glare up to Duquette and say, you know, hey there, Robert, how do you like them apples? You know,
do you think it'll be like Robert on one side of Brady and Bill on the other, and they're both trying to get his attention and like get him to sign things and like, hey, Tom, you remember when we hung out? It's
we're all over the map, but this would be akin to Goodell coming out with Eminem in Detroit, you know. It's kind of one of the smart moves, you know, or like...
How is it possible that he gets more uncomfortable every year at these things?
Okay, quick note on what the story you sent me about Goodell's comments with McAfee.
Yeah.
How can the NFL look you even somewhat in the eye and talk about player safety when they're mocking the preseason talking about adding yet another regular season game? We all know they're going to get to 18. No league has an odd number of total games. I get it. But... You don't need.
You want to give the report?
The report is that, it's not a report. It's that he was on the Pat McAfee show.
Some people may miss that.
No, yeah. So Goodell himself said to Pat McAfee that their plan is to further continue and enlarge the international series with more games, and that they would like to get rid of the preseason entirely and add another regular season game. So it's 18 regular season games. And the best part would be that Super Bowl Sunday, and I think we've speculated about this, would actually occur on a holiday
weekend,
President's Day, so you'd have the Sunday night Super Bowl where nobody would have to get up and go to work the next day. So that is all. My guess is in a couple years that'll be
done. I mean, it'll be a union bargaining chip.
Nope. it's up to Goodell. He has the final say on that.
Really?
It does not have to be approved by the union, which is amazing, but it's true.
Wow.
So
you don't think they'll fight that or have any legal ground to fight it? I mean,
Jackson has more leverage at Odyssey than the players union does in the NFL.
Jackson has a good leverage.
So, but back to the Patriots and where they currently find themselves.
Yes.
Bill Belichick not coaching is going to suck for the organization because he's not going to lose a game and he's going to look
Bill.
Amazing.
Oh, my God.
And the way in which they have dedicated or presented themselves this offseason has been to continue the lack of spending approach, which even further enhances the legacy of Bill Belichick because it shows you that even if he was a part of it, he was not the whole part of it for those of you that were trying to blame him like I did for the lack of spending.
Now back to Drake May for a second, okay? This kind of feels to me, and I'm on record here now that I'm questioning this pick, and I would have taken the draft picks if the Vikings were giving you three firsts and traded back. However, there's a chance it works. You would admit that, right? There is a chance. You said you're hoping. Yes? You hope Drake May works? You hope
we're
all wrong and he's the star quarterback and he's who would you compare him to if it works?
He's not Josh Allen. I would say Justin Herbert.
Okay, he's Herbert. So that's a pretty good thing. I mean, I feel like if that's the case, we here in the last 48 hours have undersold this big league, right? I mean, this is a guy that went to third. You had quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 3 for only the fourth time in NFL history. You were a team that was picking in the top five for the first time since 94. They took a franchise quarterback, and it's been underselled dramatically across the region. Most fans like it, but I would say a lot of fans are kind of unsure or meh.
Because people here have had caviar. And when you roll out a Chateaubriand, they're not going to go quite as crazy.
And do you think they're scarred by Mac a little bit?
No,
afraid to buy in?
If Bill Belichick were still here and Josh McDaniels was the offensive coordinator and there was a decent number of players around this offense, then I think people would be far more excited. People do not trust. They haven't judged Mayo yet, but Bo Van Pelt or Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo, it's not exactly a known commodity with the coaching staff. And he is being sold as a guy that is not ready week one, whereas Bledsoe came in and was playing almost right. I think he played right away. Did he not? In 93?
That's before my time here, so I
was
not consider
nine.
Myself an expert.
But I remember that period because you had Parcells. It was the Parcells-Bledsoe combination. It wasn't just Bledsoe. It wasn't just Parcells. It was the guy that had won Super Bowls with the Giants, at that time the biggest celebrity coach were one of them in the NFL, and what was celebrated and hailed as one of the first real deep, you know, tall guy with a strong arm at quarterback.
Now, can I give you some upside to Drake May? I want you to react to this and you tell me whether this stuff is meaningful.
By the way, you hate Herbert, just so we're on the record.
Yeah, I'm not a big Herbert fan, okay. So that's not a great comp to me. Okay. But he's got a big arm, I'll admit that. And it's kind of scary, actually. They could be the same based on some of his profile, but okay.
In 93, Bledsoe started 12 games.
12 games. Did not start the year?
Let me just see if it was injury or game. Let me see this. 1993, Drew Bledsoe game log. Where were we before the internet? He did not start. No, he did. He started week one. He got hurt weeks 7, 8, and 9 and came back in week 10.
Okay, so they went with him pretty quick.
Right.
Do you think that's a good idea with May? I don't.
He started his career 0-4.
Okay.
1-5.
Now maybe Robert will remember that and say, right. Mayo, hey, bench this guy. That's why we got Jacoby Brissett.
But this is what would get what people got excited about. The final, let's see here. They won the final four games of that year, and in those games he threw 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So that was the real momentum going into 94 where they beat the Browns and Bill Belichick in the playoffs.
Gotcha. Now, what's interesting, now, Wiggy and I at the poorhouse in Keene were having this debate, and I said, this guy's got to sit for a year at least. And Wiggy said, no way. You can put him out there, even if he's getting killed, you're better off having him learn on the field than on the sideline. So, I don't know. Wiggy's played the game. I trust his football knowledge. Is there some truth to that? Just doesn't seem smart to me. Why would you want him out there getting crushed every day?
Because you don't get crushed anymore, and that's where Wiggy's right.
This guy's going to run. If you look at his Carol, he gets out of the pocket and gets on the run.
Honest question. Do the Bengals get a player or two from the Super Bowl if Burrow doesn't get hurt in his rookie year?
Great question. That's what we're asking here. But I don't know the answer. I mean,
how did they get to the Super Bowl? Who got them there?
Yeah, Burrow was tremendous, and he had great receivers.
But they don't get Ja'Marr Chase if Burrow doesn't get injured in his rookie year.
Well, I mean, I think they can suck with not playing May.
But that's my thing is that Burrow was playing. If Drake May's playing, it's not the end of the world if he gets hurt, and then you went You know what I'm saying? Well,
it could be, depending on the injury.
Right, but if he's... The Bengals greatly benefited in the long run by playing Burrow and him getting dinged early on, because without that, they don't have a top five pick to get the franchise receiver that helped to get them to the Super Bowl and then to the AFC Championship.
Yes, if he had like five concussions that year, I don't think that's good for his long-term development, but right. Fine. Okay, so let me give you some upside to me. Obviously, everybody knows the arm. He was 2 years ago the ACC Player of the Year. Last year, he led the ACC in passing, third in FBS in total offense per game. He put up a ton of stats.
You want to go over the ACC quarterbacks last year?
Okay. Led Carolina in rushing in 2022.
Who was the second best quarterback in the ACC last year?
Florida State quarterback.
Yeah, awful.
56 rushes of 10-plus yards the last 2 years. Second in FBS, only behind Jaden Daniels. Do you think about that when you think of Drake May, that he had that many 10-yard runs? Like, that's kind of surprising. Whenever he talks about Drake May, it's just big arm, can make all the throws. He's actually a pretty good runner.
As somebody who has watched a ton of ACC football, since BC opened their ACC tenure when I was there with Brian St. Pierre taking on Florida State at the old alumni, or at the alumni stadium, okay? Last year, the ACC was as bad as it's ever been. It was awful. The conference sucked.
Okay, but I'm just telling you, he has the ability to run. It's not a...
But you're ranking
it's not the Atlantic Sun. I'm just saying he runs a lot.
The ACC sucked.
So you think it's a fraud he doesn't run?
No, I'm saying that the conference saying he was one of the best passers.
I get that. I'm telling you, he's got the ability to run. That's
great.
Potentially an upside.
Definitely. I love quarterbacks that can elude rushers.
Set the school record for completions and passing yards in a single season. Leaves Chapel Hill top five in program history in offense, passing touchdowns, 300-yard games, and passing yards. So in only 2 years, didn't play a lot. He threw the ball a ton. I mean, he has
better than Trubisky.
Better than Trubisky. He's obviously got some things, accuracy problems, as Merrill Hodge has documented. But here's the last one. And this sets up this clip, which Joe B. pulled from the thing yesterday. Here's an NFL scout. Considering his family's success, I expected a cocky kid. But he's real grounded and humble. The golly gee stuff isn't an act. He will need time before he's ready to lead an NFL room, but he will get there. So mentally, it seems like he definitely has the makeup of somebody who's driven, younger brother of four, and not entitled, which is great to see. If he's going to grow in the NFL, he needs that.
If you get to this point where you're the third pick in the NFL draft, you are driven. You are a wild.
Yeah, but you could be
story.
Overly entitled and come in and not work.
How many people play college quarterback or high school quarterback and never get anywhere near this? All these people have insane work ethic, and desire to win. You don't arrive at that point where you're the number one recruit in the country.
Okay, but I'm just talking from a root for the guy standpoint. We saw Mac Jones act in a certain way at the Saving by Shaming event behind the scenes with Rob Hale. He came in, wouldn't you say, very entitled, blew past a lot of people.
But here's – before the Judge Patricia nonsense – nobody was saying this stuff about Mac Jones.
You were that day.
Ken, go back to where you were. You were sitting in that seat saying they already got Brady's replacement.
Yes,
they just have to build
around.
I'm just
talking about character. I'm not talking about on the field.
Right, but the character only matters if he's not playing well. That's a way to defend him.
No, people were talking about Mac. People were talking about Braddy Mac, Tennis Brat. Was he complaining too much on the field?
Have you been to the doctor? Have you had your ears checked? I just said after his rookie year, nobody was saying Braddy Mac.
Yes, there were. People were analyzed. You said that after the event that we saw him behave.
Right. That, I'm telling you.
Okay, so
it was
part of the conversation.
That was in June. I'm talking about during his rookie year.
Yep.
Not a single person was ripping Mac
when
Jones.
He played well. I'm not saying it's everything. I'm just saying it's part of the
training camp. He wasn't a brat when he was beating out Cam Newton. Everybody was cheering him at Gillette Stadium when he came in.
Why do you have to argue with me everything?
Because I'm saying that when he was, you only talk
about.
You're
saying character doesn't matter.
Unless they suck.
Okay. I think it matters some. I think it leads to success, can lead to success. And I want to just play this clip from the press conference yesterday. He comes off as a guy that's easy to root for.
How great was Cam Newton's character? He was
tremendous.
Awesome.
I think it mattered.
People wanted him gone.
Yeah, because he was so bad.
Right.
Okay, so there's a happy medium. You can't spike the football at a guy's foot.
Okay.
We agree. This may not mean everything. But here's Drake May and his introductory press conference, and I just thought this was a good clip. Here, go ahead, Judd, roll it.
I'm curious if you could just walk us through what your day has been like today from waking up, getting in the facility, what you've seen, and what struck you just your first time in the stadium.
Yeah, got up this morning, got out of the hotel room in Detroit, put on this fit, put on something different from last night, tried to put on something a little different, still included the Carolina blue, but had to rock the hat all day, been wearing it all day, got in here and Flew in on Mr. Kraft's plane was awesome. That was a sweet, once-in-a-lifetime experience. We came in right over the stadium and saw, the welcome to Gillette Stadium. Drake May is just, once-in-a-lifetime deal. It's hard to beat, this day. Last night was awesome, but this day is kind of almost trumping it. Came in here.
Uh-oh.
First thing, saw Coach Mayo and, Mr. Wolf. And then, since then, been getting a tour around, met with, Coach Van Pelt. Coach McCartney and Coach McAdoo, and from there just meeting everybody and just trying to show them my personality and just be myself and just show them the three clowns back there that were meeting me on social media that we all love each other and best friends. So, and now out here, I got to see got to meet Mr. Kraft up there and his son, and from here just soaking it all in. This is my first time in here, and even went up on the light tower, on the lighthouse, and just
okay,
Wait, wait, come on, that's
I'm
good.
Scared of heights, but it's still pretty cool.
Come on, this guy is just
that is gonna leave a mark.
Well, with the calling Mr. Kraft and his son, but that's the charm of this guy. He really is, immature, but maybe
Kraft
he is
up there, and his son, and
oh boy,
but he has no idea. Like he is right. Total. Baby deer.
Everybody is going to be rooting for him.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him.
Right. I mean, of course.
I listened to that clip and I'm like, oh, come on. How can you not root for this
guy? He's got a great smile. He seems like a nice kid. Of course you want him to do well.
Right.
I want him to be successful. Everybody does. He is, like, when Bledsoe arrived, he was hope, We never had anybody like that before when I was growing up as a Patriots fan.
Part of the story, okay? Forgive me from just pointing out a guy's personality and character as part of his story.
Well, we don't know his character.
No, we don't, but that's a little glimpse into who he is.
Right.
Scared of heights, but he'll still pretty cool.
Same. I am
very charming. Scared of heights. I mean, come on.
Right. Well, soars with the eagle's nest.
All right. We are broadcasting the Kenny Curtis Show from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. It's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Now during Truck Month, get a great deal on Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks for 47 years straight, and the official truck of your Boston Red Sox. Coming up next, I do want to spend a little time on the receiver they drafted and the offensive lineman. Rons 2-3 last night.
You want to go to the Kuiper breakdown?
Yeah, that's what I want to tease. Kuiper broke this down, and it was not great. We'll hear it next.
With the 37th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, my New England Patriots select Jalen Polk, receiver, Washington.
With the 68th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft,
the New England Patriots select
Caden Wallace.
Well, there you go. Round 2 and 3 last night. Night 2 of the NFL Draft. Ken and Curtis, and two offensive players, Curtis. You wanted offense. They gave you some offensive pieces. Jalen Polk, a.k.a. J.P. Polk.
What
Caden Wallace.
What great sitcom character went to Polk High?
Well, Al Bundy.
There you go. All right, so here we go. This is from Mel Kiper. He had teams he liked. Winners and losers in day 2.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots, losers. Here are the available receivers I had ranked above Polk when the Patriots selected him. Adonai Mitchell, Corley, Roman Wilson, Troy Franklin, and Polk's college teammate, Jalen McMillan. I thought Polk was more likely to go near the end of round 2. Sure, the Pats had to get some help for Drake May, but Polk is not a burner, and he thrived on contested catches last season, which can be risky as a pro. This was just a little high based on my overall board, where I have him at 74. I also didn't love the value for Wallace either. I saw him as more of a mid-day 3 pick. He's number 154 in my rankings. He will compete for time at right tackle, but he gave up too many pressures for my liking.
All right, consider the source, ESPN. Noted hatred of all things New England.
Mel Kiper has not been a hater.
I'm just kidding. And Chris Scheim had a better mock than Kiper did last year, so let's just put that out there.
Great mock.
He could be right. Now, Polk, what do you think of him? He was a 3-year starter at Washington. He played with Penix, so he's part of that machine. A lot of Washington players got drafted. A lot of Michigan players got drafted. I think 16 receivers went through the first 3 rounds, which is, I think, tied for a record. So in a good receiver draft, one of them.
It's like the league is shifting to prioritizing receivers.
Okay, so and there they did. They prioritized it. So you don't mind the position necessarily, right? But Kiper saying this guy particularly went too high.
Unlike other people, I don't know a damn thing about Polk. I never really focused on him in any game. I have not scouted him. I don't know anything about him.
Right.
All I know is what other people that have said, and I'm just going by what Kiper wrote.
So he didn't test that fast. You think that matters? Because people would just look at the 40 time.
For me, it's where you take him. It's the trading back and getting cute with it, going from 32 to 37, doing all these random, bizarre, you get a fourth but give up a fifth. It was just like,
They traded with the Chargers, who took Ladd McConkey, the Georgia receiver. So you gave them a receiver, you know, three picks ahead of you.
Right.
So I guess we'll be watching Ladd McConkey.
Right. And all the boobs that are like, oh, Kuiper sucks. You're the same people who, when he writes positive things about the Patriots, share them and at me with it. So you can't have it both ways. Like, I don't know. Might be good. Might be right. Might be wrong. Who the hell knows? But Elliott Wolf hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt, has he?
He's a Houston slash West Texas guy. Here's the strengths. I love this. Not afraid to work over the middle. That's good. Shows urgency in the quick game. You'll love his mentality as a blocker.
Ooh, I love a good blocking receiver.
His head coach said he's one of the toughest and strongest kids on the football team, so that's good. But the weaknesses: average separation quickness, lacks explosiveness at the break point.
You know what? All these people, they really wanted the Patriots to use a second on the third best receiver at Washington.
And then Caden Wallace is a big boy, 6'5", 315, from New Jersey and the Atlanta suburbs when he was born. But, you know, it's hard to tell. I'm not going to break down offensive linemen. We get into pad level. Literally, I'm reading something that talks about his pad level. Needs to maintain low pad level as a run blocker.
Yep.
He'll be 24. He's played a ton of football. He's older and probably is like a depth, you know, guard slash right tackle. So there you go. I'll tell you this, though. The Jets... I hate to pump up the Jets. They got two players that look pretty good. I don't know if you saw the rest of the division.
No idea.
So the Jets took at 11 a tackle from Penn State, a better offensive lineman than your Penn State lineman, Olufoshinu. This could be a Pro Bowler stud left tackle of the future. And then the receiver they got in the third round, to me, looks more interesting, Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. He is little guy, 5'10", but he looks explosive. Man, he looks like mini Tyreek Hill. So the Jets took two players at the same positions you did. I got to say they're kind of more sizzling. It looks like the Patriots went more for building depth and long-term.
But to be fair, the receivers the Jets draft will be better because of who's throwing it to them.
Well, that's probably true, too.
I mean, so you can't really judge.
Just more like a slot guy they took. You took an outside guy.
You'll be able to look at it. Listen, I'm happy Elliott Wolf made the pick at receiver and not Bill Belichick, because for all Belichick's greatness, he couldn't find one. So maybe this is the right way to do it. Who the hell knows? I don't know anything about Polk or Corley or any of these guys. I watched Marvin Harrison Jr. because he was the best player on one of the best teams, and he was on every
any team. Doubt he'll be good with Arizona?
I have no doubt.
There's no doubt. What's funny, too, about Polk, I don't know if you saw the behind-the-scenes. You were kind of mocking this, the effort to be collaborative and show the behind-the-scenes videos. Right away after they took Polk, they give the phone, Mayo does, which, by the way, you guys are going to talk to Jerod Mayo Monday morning. Mayo Mondays, a special Patriots Monday this Monday on the Greg Hill Show, one-on-one with Jerod Mayo. And then the first-round pick quarterback, Drake May, we believe, going to be on with Jones and Mego. Not sure on the time yet, but it'll be on sometime on Monday for sure. But they give the phone to Tyler Hughes, the Patriots receivers coach, who worked with Polk 1 year. He was the quality control coach with the Huskies last year. So do you think there's a chance they just, like, this guy, Tyler Hughes, who, granted, is their new receivers coach, he's obviously going to like the guy he worked with because he worked with him last year. That could be a good or a terrible thing.
Well, I have a concern here. Who are we told hates the organization right now?
Belichick?
Whose kid is working there with Jed Fish.
Yeah, but he's got a kid here.
Well, but who do you think Brian scouted Polk?
Yes. Not even,
what are you talking about?
The brothers talk.
Right, so I'm saying they were given bad intel.
So Steve gave Brian bad intel on Polk?
They got bad fish from Jed and Steve.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. Do you think that's... But it was just weird to see, like, this guy I've never heard of, no offense, Tyler Hughes, their new receivers coach, he's the guy calling Polk right away and being like, hey, we're drafting you. Meanwhile, Elliott Wolf's in the background, the crafts are milling about.
Yeah,
it's just, you know... It does. If you said rudderless, I wouldn't go that far, but it does appear.
How is it not rudderless?
It's confusing as to who's making the calls.
We're happy with any quarterback that falls to us. What does that mean? Honestly,
they
what
liked
is
all
that?
Six.
I mean, this is an offseason that began with Jerod Mayo saying we're going to be taking a quarterback, and they literally just said, "Okay, whoever comes here, we'll wait and take it."
Do you like the Patriots draft? 617-779-7937. We'll play a little Elliott Wolf coming up next. Is it worth replaying the Merrill Hodge clip, or do people tired of, is he too stick in the mud on a day like
that? I want to hear from Pats fans. I want to hear the haunts
too.
Come out and just rip
so,
me
yeah,
left
support
and right.
The pick. Yes, rip Curtis.
Great.
Maybe a little bit of Merrill. He was on with Gresham Fourier, who were in Detroit this weekend, went back. This was before the draft, and he ripped May again. I mean, he just went through, you know, all his concerns of this guy. So we'll play a little snippet of that. We want your phones and feedback. 617-779-7937. It's Ken and Curtis broadcasting from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which right now, during truck month, you get a great deal. Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks for 47 years straight, an official truck of the Boston Red Sox.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.